when food is served, it's a open space, and then there may be contaminating microorganisms.
Somebody
from
might
the
sneeze
environment.
Into it.
Sneezed
yeah.
over
you
it.
You see, when someone has Staph aureus, okay, they just sneeze, that tray will be contracted with a Staph aureus. That's why, as part of buffet catering, for safety measures, we always tell people, do advise your guests, if they're unwell, do notify the organizer. Okay? So that we know that, in this crowd, they're actually unwell people, okay? And maybe may want to isolate them so that they don't sneeze in the food, they don't hold the tongue.
So I've learned that food, even if it looks and tastes okay, may not be okay.
Ooh.
It might have something quite terrible called E. coli. And recently, we've had some very serious cases of food poisoning. Overall, the number of foodborne illnesses cases related to outbreaks in Singapore is actually quite low. But then we've got all these terrible cases. So give us the one-on-one. How does an outbreak like that happen?
Well, there are a few reasons for that. Most of the time, it's due to the food handlers, due to lapses that happens when the food handlers didn't practice good hygiene practice.
Okay.
That may cause contaminations of food, whether it's end products or causing cross-contaminations of raw ingredients with the end ready-to-eat food. But sometimes, very rare in Singapore is that it's due to the source of your raw ingredients may have been contaminated, and when you actually eat them in a very minimally processed, that means you don't use high heat to treat them before you actually serve them, and if they are contaminated, then it may cause...
You mean like salmonella, sushi?
Yes, salmonella, like in a raw fish, a sushi, a sashimi, and oysters, those kind of higher risk food. If you just get one contamination and you can't see them, like what you mentioned earlier on, because these are microorganisms, you have a look, they look normal to you.
They smell good.
Yeah, they smell okay.
Yeah, but so in that case, it's the sauce. The problem is from the sauce.
Yes.
But you're saying more often than not, it's from the process.
Yes.
How the food is cooked, maybe where it's stored, maybe the food handlers didn't wash their hands,
correct.
Things like that, right?
Yes, correct.
And those little things also are a bit hard to... No, when it happens, right? I mean,
correct. So that's why sometimes it comes unnoticed. You won't realize because some minor lapses may happen along the way. I forgot to wash my hand before I touch the food ingredient or end product. So then it just happens. So the incidents happen. That's why it's very rare.
I totally agree with Richard Ansel. Now, I think a lot of time food poisoning happens because of the work processes and the workflow is being compromised. Okay, besides the food handlers themselves probably may not observe the proper food hygiene, but they may also compromise on the work processes. Example, okay, if let's say the order is the last minute and the business operator decided to take it, instead of throwing it, in the chiller for like one day, they couldn't defrost it quick enough, right? Example for the poultry, they defrost it maybe in the open air or things like that. So contamination can happen. Or probably they did not clean the equipment with the sanitizer.
Right.
And as such, the equipment become contaminated with bacteria. So it multiply over time and the poultry or the meat that's been put inside get contaminated.
So there are many avenues and for the sort of contamination to occur, but isn't there a process at all catering companies? Isn't there a workflow that they are supposed to do?
Yes, definitely there is a supposedly standard operating procedures, SOP, to follow. But sometimes when it comes to peak periods, it comes to last minute orders, food handlers, they may compromise on processes.
Meaning they're cutting
shortcut.
Shortcuts.
Which is quite normal, right?
Quite normal. So you think supposedly so this is an accepted norm in the industry?
It's not
acceptable. It should not be, right? Because you are dealing with
correct,
food.
Right? Exactly. We're talking about things that's going into the stomach. We're talking about health at stake. That's why you should not. So the thing is, my caution to clients that please give caterers ample notice. Don't give them last minute increase in packs. Then when they can't do it, you say, hey, why you couldn't do it? We're all having food safety at the back of our mind.
But okay, I want to ask you the difference between catering and restaurant food. I think that's the difference, right?
Totally different.
Yeah, because you are packing well ahead of an event. Mm-hmm. I sometimes see that you only can consume between 2 to 4 p.m.
It's a 4-hour window, right?
But then the food is like so much food and it looks good, so people take it back.
No, you can't.
You can't.
We tap out and bring home.
As a standard practice, we do not give takeaway boxes to clients, okay? Because it is beyond the stipulated consumable time.
No. So legally, you cannot encourage or, you know.
We don't give.
But Richard, let me ask you, honestly, if I bring food home, I reheat it. I mean, is it really going to get me sick? Or can it actually be safe?
By right, you shouldn't take food that is between the so-called danger zone temperature, which is between 4 to 60 degrees Celsius. And unfortunately, that's room temperature, whereby catered food are actually served. So if you decided to bring back at your own risk, even if you reheat, if the food is contaminated during the 4 hours danger zone period, then you may not have reheat enough time or temperature high enough to kill whatever contaminated bacteria. So we don't advise you to do that. Okay. So like what Christine said, we never provide so-called tapao box.
But this won't stop people. I mean, especially for certain types of food, right?
Yes.
Maybe the meats and the poultry, perhaps not higher risk of being contaminated.
I imagine the fried,
you can get sick
the fried food, the char siu pao, for instance.
It's been fried to death anyway.
Yeah. No, but then you can avoid environmental contaminants. So when food is served, it's open space. And then there may be contaminating microorganisms.
Somebody
from
might sneeze into it.
Sneezed over it.
You see, when someone has Staph aureus, okay, they just sneeze, that tray will be contracted with us, Staph aureus. Anybody who have norovirus, touch the tongs is also contacted with norovirus.
Okay.
And it can be transmitted just like that. That's why, as part of buffet catering, for safety measures, we always tell people, you know, do advise your guests, if they're unwell, do notify the organizer. Okay? So that we know that, in this crowd, they're actually unwell people, okay? And maybe may want to isolate them so that they don't sneeze in the food, they don't hold the tongue.
Sometimes you have a little, sore throat or something.
Yeah. Human carriers, bacterial carriers, is really...
No, we know. It's like really the flu spreading, right?
Yeah.
It spreads so easily.
Exactly.
But in this case, what we're talking about is different because the difference between getting the flu and getting food poisoning. I may get the flu. I'm not going to blame the catered food.
I ever spoke to, I think, a food scientist or so. He said that just a sneeze on the food, okay, the bacteria will germinate. So when it germinates, okay, it can be transmitted and translated later into a food poisoning.
Okay, so is that true, Richard?
If you give them enough time to grow, then it can actually cause
But that's
cause
a lot of
problem.
Time, right? You and I have done experiments before food.
Correct.
I mean, we're talking like letting it grow on the food.
Yeah, that's
time.
Like many
it's
hours,
instant,
right?
Yeah, so most of the time is due to the contaminants already there. Mm. So that's why it's not just hot food, cold food also. If you don't keep cold food cold, it's the same thing.
Okay, so there appears to be three main challenges for some of these catering companies, right? So Chris, manpower is one. Lack of time for preparation, which is what you talked about, and cost. Now, can you break up for us a few of these things? Okay, manpower is one of the things you mentioned. When you don't have enough people, for example, when your processes are not done according to the standards that are set. All these guys go through training, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so what's the issue with manpower? What's the main challenge you face as a caterer?
I think manpower occurs when during peak period, when you have extra orders, okay, then you start to use maybe part-timers to come in to perform the duties. But again, it really depends on the company. Like for us, we automate a lot of food recipe in equipments.
Right.
So we also have a pool of regular part-timers with us where we actually screen them according to their experience and also their food hygiene cert, also their health status. Then they are working with us on a very regular basis, part-timers, and they do not need to have very good skills because all the recipes are all formulated using machine. Just press a button, one, Okay, roast chicken.
Okay, but that's your company because you're a larger caterer. You can automate some of the systems. Some of the smaller caterers may not be doing that, right? So they may manually be doing everything.
So that is a very big major problem when you do not have automation in the system.
Okay, so automation helps, but you still need people, right?
Yes.
Especially when you're catering to big groups. And sometimes, do all of them have to go for this food course?
Yes.
Supposed to, right?
Is it possible that someone is hired to do the back-end stuff? Because you can't see, right? It's all behind in a factory, who didn't go through the food safety course.
Legally, not.
Legally, no. But Chris, in reality, does it happen?
No, we don't.
No, you don't. Have you? Do you know
of
other companies?
I know, and I saw, many other caterers have that practice. Yeah, but again, we cannot stop other businesses from doing or how they operate their business. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, correct. Mm. But you're saying it does happen.
It happens.
When you need, like the festive season, you need extra hands, you'll just hire whoever is available, right? Yes.
But most caterers will check even like temporary staff or part-time staff that they have gone through this and have this food hygiene cert, this what we call a level 1 WSQ cert. Scooping dishes at buffet line is also required to actually have this cert as well.
I mean, just to be clear, it is illegal. So if you are caught doing it and if the company is caught doing it, it's big trouble for them, you know.
Yeah, but in many of the cases, I mean, later on when they went to, in fact, SFA, the way they monitor this is quite intense. Sometimes they call out caterers for very unhygienic, right? They're cockroaches or pests and stuff like that. In Singapore, you would think that this is kind of buttoned down, right? I mean, people understand that they have to follow the rules. Why does it still happen so many times?
Well, like what Chris mentioned, sometimes it's due to, last minute and they may have to actually prepare the orders at the very last minute. Even like thawing of food. You went through the course. So thawing of food, there is a procedure to follow.
That's right.
But sometimes if you don't have enough time, you thaw it and not thoroughly. Mm. And when you cook, you didn't check the temperatures, the core temperatures of the food product. It didn't reach the 60 degree and above requirement. And that may cause a higher risk of so-called food poisoning.
It's very hard to have oversight over the food handlers, especially when you're running such a big catering company. How do you know when somebody forgot to use his gloves or when he went to the toilet and he didn't wash his hands?
Correct. And sometimes even like it's still a requirement to wear masks or speed guard
when you prepare
food. But sometimes they forgot because they're too busy. Yeah. They forgot to put on or sometimes they bring it down. This is very difficult to manage, but as far as we can, we will continuously sort of remind them of good food hygiene. So if there's lapses, then they have to do a refresher course.
But Chris, do you spot checks on your kitchen?
I'm the most unwelcome guest in the kitchen.
Oh, is it? You're the auditor going there. Why like that? Why?
Oh, because I'm a qualified food hygiene officer. Yeah. Okay. Now, the thing is that I also watch them through the CCTV. Okay, surprise checks, on the kitchen staff. Okay, of course, I also wear my hairnet, my mask, and they really detest me because I will go around with my maybe glow germ gel.
Glow germ gel.
What is that?
Yeah.
Is that like the UV light, is it?
Yes, I will say, I know where are the areas where I think it's the highest bacteria, the most risky maybe area in my kitchen, the cold kitchen. So I'll spot check. I'll ask a few of them, come out. Okay. Can you give me your hands? Okay. Then I'll spread the germ gel.
Oh, and then they will glow if they have germs on their hands.
Yeah.
Well, it's like criminal minds.
Wow. It makes them, it heightens the food safety. So you let them know that, the management is looking at it. It's top down now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So please do not, trifle with this food safety.
So in that sense, is it possible for catering companies to always have a 100% clean track record?
It doesn't mean that food poisoning is due to the caterer. 100%. Okay? There are a lot of factors involved. First, it may be because the ingredient source may not be clean. That's why it really boils down to the procurement policy.
Right.
Sometimes it may not
Sometimes it's a food source.
It's a food source.
But it sounds like a cost issue also, right? I mean, if I have to check at every level.
So you need to request for the COA, certificate analysis, when you purchase for a sauce. So sometimes some bacteria which is heat resistant, or they form spores like bacillus. Yes. Is yes. one particular one.
Yeah.
And they can actually withstand high heat and then they re-germinate again.
Wow. Well, what kind of food do those?
This is a superhero bacteria. Yeah.
Food, like fried rice is one particular one that
always
have these issues of bacillus cereus.
Yes,
a cereus or botulinums, so and so forth. So these are the heat resistant microorganisms of bacteria that if they are there, under high heat, they will protect themselves forming spores.
Yeah.
And then when the temperature is correct and right again, they will just
multiply.
Yes.
So there's a requirement to actually train at least one of the person in the companies to up to the level 4 and they know about food safety.
But I'm assuming it's the same with restaurants too, right?
Yes. But for caterers to get the catering license, they need to go through this course.
Is it more stringent for caterers than for restaurants?
It is definitely more stringent.
Ah.
Another reason, maybe will happen is because client bring outside vendors to the catering. So it's like example.
Yeah.
Okay. Besides my normal catering, now I want to have a very cute dessert bar. Okay, this is made from don't know where, maybe home base.
Okay, so you're saying at the event, maybe more than one catering company.
Yes, so it's an external vendor. So it's very hard to detect. Actually, where is the cross-contamination? Where the bacteria comes from, we don't know.
Yes.
Okay. So a lot of time, I think caterers have to be very careful to advise the client that, if you have external vendor, then, you may have to look at the joint liability involved.
So if I'm catering food, if I have like a birthday party or I'm catering for a wedding or whatever, what should I be asking of my caterer?
The best is just use one caterer. Don't have any other...
don't mix and match.
Yeah, don't mix and match. Don't try to be fanciful.
Prata
at the end
station.
Of day...
Live prata station? Yeah, I mean...
But it's fun, right?
No, and he's cooking it on the spot on a hot plate. So again, it's
that
just whether he cooks
it.
But if you want to have prata stations, the caterers, the same caterers, if they can, they will provide.
They can do it
together. Yeah. So it's best to have one caterers.
Okay.
So even like you mentioned, birthday party, sometimes the birthday cakes, popcorns, maybe an issue too. You never know because you order birthday cakes from another party.
Right.
And birthday cakes using eggs, there will be salmonella issues as well. So it's always very difficult to actually pinpoint.
So in a way, it's also better that if anything goes wrong, you can hold one company
liable,
right?
Yeah.
Which also reminds me, last time I catered, I didn't really read the contract very carefully. Now I think you should, to make sure that these things are covered in case anything happens.
Chris, you mentioned that the clients also need to be educated. On food safety, and sometimes we are the ones making difficult demands. This can affect the way the food is being prepped. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I think first the client have to choose a reliable caterer, and also know that do not ask for unreasonable requests. Like I want to have my event. Beyond certain time. And we definitely know that beyond certain time, the food will spoil. Yeah. So it's like, no, my guests will only come by then. But we can't. So when we tell the client that, please adhere strictly to the hours, we hope the client can listen. That's one thing. And then also maybe do not give caterer last minute increase in pets. Every business owner will tell you can. But not all caterers are big enough to absorb the increase.
Right.
Then the next thing is also do not have like special requests like bringing external vendors. I think that's very highly risky. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's one very, very, very interesting point. Sometimes when you cater for event, for very high profile events, right? Then they say that, this so-called high profile person is coming in. He's going to pass by this point, this catering point. Okay. We need your food to be ready by 10 o'clock. But actually, consumption time is 12. So how can the food be ready by 10? But because the high-profile person need to pass by that place, we need to get it ready.
Why does he need to see the food?
Yeah, he needs to...
to see that it's ready.
Yes. So the thing is, we always advise, if if the same path has to be used, use separate path, please.
In fact, I'm thinking, if I'm the so-called high profile, I walk by, I'm thinking, wow, so early the food is out already, but we're not eating till 12:30.
But organizers don't think this way. They say, no, everything has to be ready. Okay. And
ready by 10, it has to be prepped by 6, 7, right? Yeah. So you're talking about a very long time.
Exactly. Okay. That's why I always tell them, say, this type request cannot entertain at all. Please advise them food safety.
You ask them,
you know,
like the Japanese restaurant in the window display, the fake food. You put that one in your catering case. When he walks by, he can see that.
I tell you, in real life, I'm in this business for 28 years. Yeah. This is very, very common. Yeah. Every year, at least a few times.
Remember, catered food not meant to be tapao. So don't bring back. Okay, consume within the 4 hours.
Unless you're tapaoing within the 4 hour window.
And eat within the 4 hours.
Eat within 4 hours.
Yes.
Wow, very high.
I think this food poisoning thing is a shared responsibility among a few parties.
Agree.
The caterer, the clients,
that's true.
The authorities, okay, the media also. I think the media also ought to, like we are doing like that, I need to educate the public. I think it's only through sharing. Then the industry can raise its bar in the food safety.
Okay, that's it for this episode of Deep Dive. Of course, a shout out to our team, Junaini Johari, Tiffany Ang, Saya Win, To Yen Yen, and Joanne Chan. Video editing by Hanida Amin and sound mixing by Ken Delbridge.
Just a quick note, catch the full version of this podcast on Spotify and Apple.
And of course, on YouTube too.
Yep.
See you
guys
there
next week.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.